Hey guys, we're Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online for your business for less than $500 a month. We have been using the Workplay method to launch visual marketing strategies for businesses all over North America and Europe. If you are wanting to uplevel your marketing, we are giving listeners of the Workplay podcast an exclusive video bonus offer on their first Workplay shoot for free when you DM us the word podcast. This offer is valued at $1,500. And again, we are giving this away for free. To claim this offer, go to @WorkplayBranding on Instagram and DM us podcast to claim this exclusive free video bonus offer valued at $1,500. That is @WorkplayBranding on Instagram. DM us the word podcast. Don't miss out. Welcome to the Workplay podcast, where we deep dive into how to create a visual marketing strategy that actually moves the needle. Take a peek inside the minds of hundreds of Workplay members who have created successful visual campaigns that have generated millions in revenue.
The wardrobe part is probably, I'm liking it more, but it's like, it is, I think, the hardest part. And I remember with you guys in your process, you're like 15 outfits. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. What are you talking about? You know, it was like, you guys were like, more is more. And that is right. Right. Because what happens on game day, shoot day, right? It's like there's so many things happening and you're like moving kind of fast. And when you have a really professional team that's super good at it, they're like, they get the shots quickly. So then it's like, we need to go on to the next outfit and the next part of the set and wherever you're going. So you just need to have a roadmap and you need to really plan it out. And I think what's awesome about what you guys do is that you give the roadmap.
Amber, welcome to the Workplay podcast.
Hey, Lyric, I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited for you to be on. I can't wait to dive into, you know, your journey inside of the Workplay process. But first, I want you just to introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, what you do, and how long you've been in business.
Yeah, so I am a business mentor. I am an author and a podcaster and a speaker and a mom. And I have been in business for the last 10 years. I'm a 20-year marketing pro. But the last 10 years I've been an entrepreneur and I built my company when my daughter was born and have been doing this mamapreneur thing ever since and have built it to a multiple seven-figure business here in the forest of New Hampshire, helping women all over the world. And I've gotten to write some poetry books and just, you know, really do all the things that feel most aligned with my soul and what is most helpful.
I love that. And who do you currently serve? Like, who is like the best fit for what you do?
Yeah, I work primarily with women coaches and creatives. And I think, you know, the sort of nuance on that are those who want to scale their lives, right? They want to grow a more meaningful, fulfilling life, and their business is a co-creative component and part of that, you know, and I'm always just reminding people, you don't have a business without a life. And so this life first business model is really at the heart of who I help. And a lot of them are moms, and a lot of them, you know, are just like family friendly people who just really want to center the whole life, not just this one branch of their existence.
I love that. And I know that you were an athlete. How did you get into going from like being a college athlete into this entrepreneur journey?
Yeah. So I graduated from college and, you know, really like by the grace, I got this job as the marketing coordinator at my alma mater where I played. And, you know, I bet you can relate to this, Lyric. I just was so excited about the opportunity. And I just knew I was going to sort of build the plane as I was flying it. I was just learning every single day. I would be the one that would show up to the meetings with the legal pad and I would write down every single thing everybody was saying. And I was just so eager to learn everything. And working collegiate athletics in marketing is such an entrepreneurial endeavor. We're usually pretty low resourced and we have to, you know, make things out of nothing. And we have all of these ideal clients we have to focus on, which are your students, your student athletes, you have your alumni, and then you have your student, you know, those who like in student life and all this, you have the community, and then you have like all of the faculty and staff members. And so I had to learn all of this stuff at once. And I was an English journalism major. So it wasn't like I even had a business background. And it was such an incredible career to just learn. You know, I was producing 100 events a year. I had an internship team. I was writing. I had to learn how to write marketing copy. I was doing that job when social media was literally invented. Like, I created our Facebook page for the department. And so it was just amazing. And I was one of the top sport marketing professionals in the country at the time when I left my career. I walked away from it as an associate athletic director for marketing. And I left because I had a near-death experience when my daughter was born. And I just also knew, you know, it wasn't a career that was going to be super conducive to the way that I wanted to parent and mother and be there for my daughter. And, you know, I just, you know, you don't get a replay on your kids' first steps and their first words. And oh, it makes me emotional to talk about it. And so I knew that I needed to take that hard turn and go launch this business. And yeah, so that's really how the sport piece kind of led into entrepreneurship, but it also really prepared me, you know, for the tenacity and the grit and the adversity and the stamina that's required to be able to do a job like this. And also, you know, Ani was 9 months old when I started. So I was doing that naptime hustle thing at the start. And we do now have a 2-year-old son. And so it's sort of like deja vu, kind of being back in the waters of that season of my business 10 years later again.
I love that. And it sounds like you've been like such a driver throughout your entire career, right? And then you had to kind of take a step back and reevaluate. How does that look like? Like, how did you make that transition, like, in your own, you know, way energetically, in your way, and like how you structured your business? What did that look like? Because I know there's a lot of people, I think, that are in are in what you used to be in, right? And want to transition. So how did you do that before?
The way that I've sort of shifted the drive, because, you know, you can't really take the drive out of the girl, is I zoomed out on the bigger picture of what is important to me. And my life just got bigger, you know, my life in terms of like motherhood, it just changes how you think, you know. It's like your heart's outside of your body. Like, I know that your mom is here with us right now. So it's really special today that she's here, getting to be part of this conversation. And yeah, so you just go through this radical change in terms of like what matters to you. And it really solves it for you in so many ways. And it challenges you in a new way where you're like, well, there's no other option, because this is what my priorities are and this is what matters to me. And I literally can do anything. I mean, moms are just, you know, oh, like just queens. And what they do, their capacity, it's like bow down everybody to the mom that you had, no matter what. Like, she was doing her best and she deserves a lot of credit. It's not easy in this world as to be a woman and then also to be a mother and an entrepreneur on top of it. It's just a lot of layers. And so I found that is a really beautiful challenge. And also I have these babies to show, you know, the way and to create a new world for. And so that's it's like made my drive notch up even more, and in a really meaningful way, and figuring out how to like work smart in my business and not spend time on things that are frivolous, and frankly, like zip up my inner work stuff, like where there's still leaks and doubts and insecurities. It's like, there's just no time for that, babe. You know, you gotta get in, you gotta go do it. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, because it's really helped me with a lot of my own stuff along the way.
Yeah, to prioritize like your kids, like alongside of you, like as you're doing this business, a lot of people ask me that question every interview is like, okay, we have a lot of moms as clients. They have kids, small kids, and they're trying to do it all. Like, they have that mom guilt. But I'm just like, you know what? I'm in a unique position to see where my daughter has always seen me work in the business, and in one business or another, very entrepreneurial. As I was raising Lyric, and they're always like, okay, she is 27 years old. So like, we can see, like, we didn't damage her. We just, like, it actually enhanced like her, you know, life views and, you know, with business as well. So Everybody asked me that question. It's interesting the way that your kids are watching and they're picking up on certain, you know, characteristics or traits that you're doing every day. So I love that. But it does like put your priorities in place really quickly, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally. You've done great. Lyric is literally a rock star.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Yeah, but the business and raising kids, it's interesting. But I wouldn't, it actually shifts you to like almost having like a better outlook as well on like what you want to do, because it gets your vision really clear, really fast as well.
So how do you think about your marketing right now? Because you've built like this big business, you help people build big businesses. How do you see marketing changing even going into 2025? How are you thinking about it?
It's so relational. You know, and what I mean by that is if we really think about how people experience marketing, it is on a subconscious level above all else. And this is why, you know, one of the reasons, I mean, you guys are geniuses, why you've done so well is because you deliver a beautiful product and outcome and you do it in a really intelligent way and you've scaled powerfully, smart strategy. But you've also built relationships with brands that people have positive associations with. And so then that creates familiarity and that creates an easier yes for people when they're making decisions about where they want to spend their money and where they want to develop relationships. And I think every entrepreneur listening to this just needs to like really listen to this. Because the brand, just brand in of itself, is a collection of memories and experiences that you feel and you have in your brain. You can't hold a brand in your hand. You can hold a product that is made from a brand, but it is a felt experience. And when we understand that brand, and this is why working in sports is so powerful, I mean, there are no bigger fans in the world than collegiate athletics fans. And so seeing what that fandom looks like in real time and creating experiences and you know, when your team's winning or losing, I was just in the most potent place to learn about marketing and also having to produce 100 events a year, you know, 20 games for the hockey team in a winning or a losing season. I got so many reps. And so what I want us to be thinking about as coaches and creatives and service providers is how are you creating more positive associations and opportunities to have relationships deepen with your customers? And that is something I think that takes some time to really look at, you know, and really examine how that brand relationship is developing and growing. And when you can get that, it's like, then you start to understand who your ideal client actually is, what some of those sort of almost like you can't put words to. It's like a sensory experience where they're relating to you, because it's really all about energy at the end of the day and the way the subconscious mind makes decisions before it even touches our conscious mind. So that's how I teach marketing. There's obviously a lot more, but that's the place I play, because that's what's actually happening when you think about people making decisions to choose to purchase from you or not.
I totally agree with this. Can you give us like tangible examples when you say you can't hold the brand in your hand? It's these mm-hmm. experiences. What are some examples of that from like a service provider perspective or coaching perspective? How can they create these? Because I think people get into such like a tunnel vision, like I'm only online. I can only create an experience online, but maybe there are ways to create certain experiences and feelings online. I'd love to know some tangible things around that, because I think a lot of people have that issue.
Yeah. They just don't understand it yet. And that's okay. That's what this podcast is for, right? I'm just going to pop up a couple brand names of and just see what happens when I say it, because you're going to have an experience and I want to mirror this for you. So I'm just going to say the word Starbucks. And I'll just ask you guys, what do you see in your head? Like, what's the first, what do you see? Just describe to me when I say Starbucks, what comes up?
It's so funny because I'm like such a coffee snob now. So I like don't drink Starbucks, but I know what you're saying right now, because it's like, it's a visceral feeling of like coziness, warmness. Like you can go in, you can go and work and like, you're going to be supported.
I was going to say that aesthetic that it comes with. Like that aesthetic and being inside a Starbucks, like sitting down working. I do a lot of work inside of Starbucks too. So yeah.
And you can smell it and you can taste it. Lyric doesn't like the taste. So there's a negative association there. Right. So this is really important. Do you see that? Okay. I'm going to say another one, a personal brand, Taylor Swift. What comes up?
Oh boy.
Oh no. Huge Swiftie over here. Oh my gosh. Like fun. Relatable. I think relatable, girl next door, that sort of thing.
I can see business person. I don't know. I think she's
Yeah. So do you notice that you both had sort of different things that you said, whether it was positive, negative, kind of neutral, but that every single person that engages with you and your brand is having their own version of that. And so our work is to do our best, which again, you can't control how people are going to respond to anything. Of course, like these high level marketing folks, they really understand the psychographics. They understand how this kind of data can work and they can influence brains even more. But I want you to remember that marketing is an experience that happens in your brain and relationality, right? And negative and positive. I mean, somebody could have a voice that just irritates you and they're like Mother Teresa. You know, they're like the greatest, smartest person on the planet. They're doing all this good work, but you like something about their voice reminds you of that teacher in fifth grade who was a jerk. And that's all you can hear. And you're like, I don't know. There's just something about her I don't like. And so the reason why I'm kind of like bringing up this silly example is because when you are working in your brand to create more multidimensional experiences for people to experience you, which includes your photos, which includes your B-roll, which includes your audio on your podcast, which includes the programs that you create and the launch experiences that you create and the visuals that go to that. There's so much, it's all multi-sensory. And that's why what you guys do is so important. I've said this to one of my clients who's a photographer. I said, hey, you know, she's feeling a little discouraged. And I said to her, listen, I want you to say this. I want her to poke the bear. Put in your copy, what would the experience be like on this website with no photos right now? That seven-figure coach that people are paying, how would she sell with no photos? Tell me. And she's like, that's ridiculous. And I said, exactly. And why? Because we want to see each other. We want to connect. We want to feel the eyes and the heartbeat through the screen. We want to have a relationship. And it's hard to have a relationship with just a bunch of words. And so the more you can weave these things into what you're doing in your marketing and your branding and what you're doing on your websites and in all of your stuff, the deeper the connection gets to be. And this is part of like just bringing it back to Taylor. She's just such a master at it. She sings songs and it's vibrational. Music is vibrational. So you're literally having a vibrational experience listening to Taylor's music.
I think this is such an important conversation, especially when it comes to visuals. I would love to know how you think about visuals. I know you gave us a little insight with one of your clients, but do you have moments like that with other clients when it comes to their visuals and their brand? And what does that look like for you from a coach perspective?
Yeah, 100%. A client today, I messaged her. She has an event coming up I'm speaking at. And it's just pictures of the venue promoting it. And I'm like, girl, nobody wants to come to, it's a great looking building, but there's no heartbeat in the building. We need to see you facilitating. We need pictures of you. You need to put pictures of your speakers up facilitating. You need to have B-roll of you talking with your hands and showing women, the back of women's heads in the room. Like, we need to feel a sensory experience. You're not moving tickets because there are no heartbeats in what you're doing in your marketing right now. And so I can't emphasize that part enough. And I mean, just do it. Do your own personal test. I remember there was a massage company that came to me and they were amazing services. They have an app that you can book through, which I'm like, that's amazing, right? I can book a massage on an app. Come on now. And instead of having to call on the phone, I mean, like, ideal client right here. And they had no pictures of anyone. And I'm like, this person is going to put their hands on my naked body. Okay. I would like to just see a face. Like, could we just, like, you know, before we date, could we just see each other? Like, I think this is important. I want to know your founder story. Why do you care about massage? Why is this important to you? Please put some words on the page and let me connect to another human being. So that's a way to turn the dial up. And it's so weird because I notice some people, because they're, you know, Lyric, I know you guys have to do a lot of coaching about helping people feel comfortable on camera, let themselves be seen. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we have to work through around that. And so then it's just like a subconscious thing where we don't do it, but it is so vital when it comes to real connection with the clients. And you know, the work you guys do with your clients, these styled shoots, these just like artistic storytelling stuff, it's really powerful because it expresses the intent and the heartbeat of what they're trying to create and what they're inviting people into with their art. And I think it's everything. It really is.
It's interesting because I actually had a conversation with a dentist and she was like, you know, people come into our process and they're still like skeptical. I'm like, but you're in the process, but you know, we're still like guiding you through that. And she was like, you know, why would they want to see me as the dentist? And I'm like, because they want to know who's putting those tools in their mouth. Going to the dentist is so incredibly scary. I mean, it's scary for me. I have to go a lot. And it's interesting because it's almost like the next level of that is, how do you make it look different? How do you make it look creative? How do you stand out? How do you think about standing out in terms of like the marketplace when people are worried about saturation, or when they feel like someone's copied them or their visuals and they've worked so hard to make that brand unique? What would you say to that person?
Well, A, it happens all the time. And B, you know, maybe this is the soccer player in me, but I'm just like, yeah, you can't copy me. You can't repeat what I am. I'm unrepeatable, you know, like, nice try. And I would just like bounce that ball over to you. Like, here's a pass, like take that and get in yourself. Because at the end of the day, if someone is going to copy you or do like a diluted version of what you're doing, like, oh, bless them. You know, that's, they were inspired. And that's all their capacity is creatively in this moment. And so what it does is it just continues to challenge you to expand yourself. And I think all of us have probably been sort of ripoffs, copies of people at one point or another. And I think about my poetry book and my friend, photographer, Lauren Bodwell did this, but this is my poetry book and I have all these photos inside, and that's different, right? You know, it's like putting images in a poetry book is not necessarily normal, but I'm also a photographer. Actually, I didn't even say that part. I had a photography business before I started my coaching business, and I'm a seer, you know. And so I remember when I was doing photography, what I loved so much about it was like seeing people and seeing their beauty and seeing like all their magnificence and capturing that image and then being like, okay, like, you know, it was like a way that I could love. And then I realized, I'm good at photography, but I'm really good at coaching. And so, you know, hiring other people to do photography was really helpful for me. And stepping into my coaching work was really where I could like see without having to use a lens and just like with my intuition and with the work that I do with people. So yeah, I could go a lot of different directions on that. And then for me personally, you know, I'm a forest fairy. I live in the forest. You can see the trees behind me. I built this building called the Treehouse. I record my podcast walking on the dirt road, truly, you know, like having intimate conversations with people. And so it's like, well, of course, all my branding and all of the things I'm doing visually has to be that. I host retreats here at my house on the lake. Those are the pictures that we need to center. And it's the most authentic thing. So my coach 'em up for you guys is who are you in your natural habitat? You know, I think, and Lyric, you would be able to say more about this than even I would, but I think about all those times when, you know, we were like, okay, I'm going to go rent this like big mansion on the beach and do my photo shoot. And that's all fine and good. But sometimes I think the best pictures are just like the most real you pictures, you know, with your dog and in your space holding your favorite mug, where you're not like telling yourself you have to go be something other than what you are. And it's more believable in a lot of ways too. And you just come across as being even more natural and more relatable in so many ways also.
I mean, you know this as a photographer and shooting, you know, people. When someone is in their element and they're exuding that energy, you can actually feel that through the image or the visual or the B-roll video that you're shooting. And so it's like your energy and how you're approaching the shoot is so, so important. How do you prepare for a shoot to really get that energetic center correct and in a way that's actually going to serve you in the day and then also serve you and your brand when you actually use those visuals?
Yeah, the simple things are I always have to start with visuals, you know, so start with a visual board of inspiration, of course, you know, and I think it's really important to you guys. I always say this to my clients because your photographer speaks in visual. So if you're hiring a photographer, just understand the most effective way to connect with them is with visuals because they're a visual artist. So make a Pinterest board and take the time to go and search and put this thing together because it's going to create the energy and the synergy for both of you to understand what we're trying to accomplish. And so I always do that. You know, I always do that for every shoot and I capture those visuals. And then, you know, the wardrobe part is probably, I'm liking it more, but it's like, it is, I think, the hardest part. And I remember with you guys in your process, you're like 15 outfits. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. What are you talking about? You know, it was like, you guys were like, more is more. And that is right. Right. Because what happens on game day, shoot day, right? It's like there's so many things happening and you're like moving kind of fast. And when you have a really professional team that's super good at it, they're like, they get the shots quickly. So then it's like, we need to go on to the next outfit and the next part of the set and wherever you're going. So you just need to have a roadmap and you need to really plan it out. And I think what's awesome about what you guys do is that you give the roadmap. Whereas when you're new to this, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, so I think following that roadmap and what I will also say is I never wear my best outfit first because I'm always a weirdo robot at the beginning. I'm like, I don't even know how to smile. I don't save it to the last either because then I'm dead. And then I just lose it. And it's inevitable. You look at your gallery and you're like, man, that I wasted that dress. You know, I just couldn't get there. So I say like get warmed up in a like medium outfit and then like make sure you're like ones you really want to hit. You put it in there like second, third and fourth even, you know, just like get yourself warmed up. The other thing is, you know, it's good to do hair and makeup if that's not something that's like a ritual for you to do yourself. I do my hair always, my own hair. It's like, even when I speak, I always do my own hair, but makeup is helpful because I can't put those freaking lash things on to save my life. And if I want to wear them, I just need someone else to do it. And I always find that when I do my own makeup, the photos come back and I'm like, oh, I just don't have quite enough base on. And our makeup artists really know, you know, with camera, especially if you do flash, you know, a lot, you guys do a lot of natural light stuff, but it just depends on, you know, what the shoot is, you're gonna need that extra base to work for the camera with the makeup. So I think that those are some like little baby tips. Eat light snacks, you know, keep yourself nourished, but don't stop. That's the other thing. Don't keep going. Eat nuts. Have a smoothie. Keep going. Get the lipstick refreshed. Oh, and then have an assistant. Have somebody that's there to help you. Who can get the outfits prepped for you, that can fix your hair when it's looking weird, who's there to like hold the fan if you need to have a fan, you know, all those things. Those are like the keys to success, and you kind of figure out what your formula is and then you can repeat that.
Okay. I'm obsessed with those tips. As far as your ritual before, are you into rituals?
Yeah, of course.
What's your ritual before your shoot? What are you doing the morning of?
Well, probably just chasing my children around and trying to make sure that they're all set and, you know, picking out their outfits if we're going to do it and negotiating with my daughter so that I can get her to be in a couple pictures. Because she's at that age now where she's like, I don't want to be in a photo shoot. I'm like, you're on the payroll, babe. So, you know, like a light breakfast. And I like the night before to get things set, you know, like, so the morning of, I'm not having to think about that stuff. It's like, treat yourself like a queen. Like, how would a queen do this? You know, have your friend come over, your assistant come over the night before to like get everything done, like steam your clothes the day before, have everything set. Don't have a steamer out on the morning of a shoot. So I go into the day having everything prepared. And then it's, you know, for me, it depends on the day, but it's usually like nature time and music. And just visualizing the day and just being light about it. Because for me, you know, body image stuff can come up, like just some of those old things can come up sometimes. So it's like, how can I be really light with myself today? So I'm not putting so much pressure on me to like make sure that I get it. Because, you know, when you're the star of the shoot, and you have this vision in mind, like it can feel like pressure sometimes, you know, it can feel like you have those moments where you're like, oh, I feel like I'm not doing it. And then old patterns can leak in. So for me, it's like solid mindset work, some journaling, listening to music, just like coming into the day really happy and having all the support in place ahead of time so that it's just a light and easy day.
Why do you think you wanted to sign up for 4 shoots in a year?
Well, I had events. So I think that that's a big part of it. I had live events that you guys shot for me. And yeah. And what I think, though, is just the model is super, super affordable. And also it stretches you a little bit. I remember being like, guys, I don't know if I can do 4 shoots in a year, you know? And so I really liked the challenge of being stretched that way. And I loved that, you know, you guys just got it and you're going to be able to come to these events and do all of the things and add the B-roll in. And these were new elements that I hadn't had before in working with other photographers. And so, yeah, it was really cool to just feel held like that.
What are some of the things that you've made out of that outside of like social media? Have you made press kits? Have you made things that, you know, would go in non-traditional, you know, photo shoots, like going out there?
Yeah, mostly just like marketing in my brand on my website, you know, and yeah, I didn't really have a lot of B-roll before that. So like, you know, of events and stuff, it was more just like what I was doing with my phone. So that was really neat because one of my strongest elements in my business is my live event branch, and I'm just really good at them. And so it was really nice to have those details, you know, and have the variety in terms of what was offered from that. But yeah, that I haven't touched my press kit because it's just already set and I just don't have the energy to do that yet. But that's a great suggestion, Tracy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We just see a lot of authors and, you know, that get on stage and do very specific things because we're asked to a lot of like events that they already have an event photographer there. They have an event videographer there. But with us, they want specific strategic shots, you know, interacting with the crowds, them interacting with the event coordinator. And I'm just always so curious to see if like a lot of this other speakers that, you know, I may not are doing that kind of thing. Cause it is really great to like create that media kit and that press kit. So
totally. That's a great suggestion.
Perfect. For anyone listening, Amber's events are very fun, very lively. You guys all need to experience them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We dance a lot. We move our bodies a lot. We, you know, just like we actually had like a dance party at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, which was so perfect because, you know, we're all moms and stuff. And so we had disco balls. I was wearing a sequin dress. Lyric was like right out there in the middle of the dance floor, capturing our whole dance party with like the thing. It was so much fun. And it was so just, you know, non-traditional. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Fun.
Amber, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Can you leave our Workplay members with just a piece of advice that they can take with them?
Babe, just go do it. I think that's it. You know, you gotta move your feet to match your vision. And if you're feeling that call, if it's coming on through, book the shoot, schedule the event, start writing the book, launch the program. Like, life is now. And your creativity and your art really, really matters.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Where can everyone find you, connect with you?
Yeah, I'm at Amber Liljestrom on Instagram. I'm at amberliljestrom.com on my website. And my podcast is called Ignite Your Dream.
This episode of the Workplay Podcast is brought to you by Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online. In 2019, they revamped the Workplay method and have been using this exact process to launch businesses' visual marketing strategies all over North America and in Europe. Head over to workplaybranding.com to learn exactly how you can launch your visual marketing strategy and cohesive brand for less than $500 a month.